We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It's Wednesday, hump day, last day of the month, September 30th, 2020. Don't know if you guys caught this, but the Chiefs beat the Ravens on Monday Night Football a couple of nights ago, 34-20. So that's still on my mind. The Major League Baseball playoffs had a full plate last night. I'm trying. It's tough.
You got another opportunity today, buddy.
Yeah, well.
It's a full slate. Maxed out.
I got plans.
8 games today.
I can't. I got other things on the plate, dude.
Your bigger plate.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, you try to watch, you know, you watch what was on Monday night, and you watch Mahomes and that offense, and you watch the Kansas City Chiefs, and you try to shift gears and watch baseball.
How are you doing?
The next day.
How are y'all doing?
Doesn't work too well, at least for me. It's tough, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, just being honest with you, it's tough to try to fabricate some kind of excitement for the Major League Baseball playoffs. We're in the midst of Mahomes kicking ass, and so
it's nice just to throw it out on Tuesday, just have it on in the background all day. I don't know.
Is it?
I had it on. I didn't sit down and really pay attention to a lot. It was just like kind of walking through the room. Huh. All right. Yeah. Huh. Bieber just got lit up. Huh. Okay. I don't know. I didn't sit there and focus on any part of any of those 4 games yesterday, but throughout the day, I was just checking on it. I'd walk through, you know, had the TV on and walked through the room, had to take the dog to the vet, come home, check the game, but I didn't sit down and really, you know, consume a big portion of it. It's just, you know, Tuesday afternoon, something going on. It's not bad. Bad little deal.
Yeah. If I hadn't had so much on my schedule, maybe I would have enjoyed it, but it's like,
yeah, I'm
the
a loser.
First part of this week, I'm
I got
slammed.
Nothing going on.
Well, I would have a chance to watch it, but just we had a TV taping yesterday with Danny Welniak. Boy, what a locker room roundtable you people will be treated to Friday night, and then I think we're gonna be on Saturday or on Sunday with Danny Welniak. It's me, Nate, and Todd Lebo. Wow. How desperate were they for guests before they got to us, is the question I ask.
Well, sounds to me like they got a pretty deep bankroll, you know, to afford us.
Well, you know, I've heard enough of us, I think. apparently.
You've heard enough of you guys.
So. Huh. And they had a lengthy Zoom call I'll be honest with you, that lasted too long in the 1 o'clock hour, and so back to back. And we're getting ready for the event that I'm hosting live tonight. So I had a little, an enjoyable rehearsal because I like to, you know what? It's interaction. It's fun. And I'm a little sad because this is the season where I get a chance normally to MC several charity events, and I love it. I mean, it's one of the best things that's happened with my job is that I get lucky enough where people asked me to be involved in their wonderful events. And last year I had a chance to host the National MS Society's Dinner of Champions Orange Party. This year it's digital. But it was a great event, and they asked me back this year. But this year it's going to be live on the, what is it, Jake, the interwebs?
Yeah, the
internet.
The internet.
Right. Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah, the World Wide Web.
Right. And so I'll tweet out the link, but that's going to be live at 7, and Dum Dum over here thought that we were going to record it. Right? So, okay, let's record this thing, and then we'll all watch at 7. They go, no, it's going to be live. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, all right, then, let's go. Let's get this done. Did a nice walkthrough. So tonight at 7 o'clock, if you would like to take part in the auction that we're going to have, an online auction, and it's the goal to raise more than $200,000 for MS research and services. And so you can prepare to feel inspired, and we have some fun as we sip homemade cocktails and take selfies in our boldest orange attire. And with your help, we can make a difference in the lives of the estimated 1 million people in the U.S. living with MS who need our support more than ever now. And so tonight we will enjoy the MS Society's Digital Dinner of Champions Orange Party for the Kansas City community. And I will tweet that link out a little bit later. You can go and just Google Dinner of Champions, Kansas City. MS Dinner of Champions of Kansas City gives you the link right there. And then I will tweet that out later so you can sign in or register and be a part of our event tonight. Or even donate if you can't sit down and join us. So I was wrapped up in that, and then I went for a long walk. And the playoffs were going on all around me. And the Astros beat the Twins 4-1. Of course the Astros won. The White Sox beat the Athletics. Okay, so who's got any dog in this fight here? Do you want the Astros or the Twins? I was rooting for the Twins. Or I still am.
Yeah, I definitely can't root for the Astros. I mean, I will root against them. Although I do kind of get a kick out of watching Zach Greinke pitch, but yeah, no, I'm not rooting for the Astros. So yeah, go Twins.
The White Sox took care of the A's. I don't know. The A's seem to always flame out somehow in the playoffs. The White Sox are a wildly entertaining team to watch play. But the White Sox kind of make me feel bad because I think, oh boy, this lineup is in the Royals division and they're young and they've got more pitching on the way. And, you know, as good as this lineup is, we don't even talk about the number one overall pick they recently made in Spencer Torkelson, who has an unbelievable bat. And so they are. Well, that's Torkelson with the Tigers. Andrew Vaughn was the kid that they drafted that's a stud. First base. We haven't even talked about him coming up soon. Torkelson with the Tigers, Vaughn with the White Sox, and so two stud first base prospects in this division that still have not yet to be unveiled. And the White Sox, yeah, like they need one more blue chip prospect in that lineup. And so I watched them, and not thinking about the future of the Central, they're an enjoyable team to watch. That's a fun team to watch. I like to watch Giolito pitch. I think he's been a tremendous story. I like to see that when some people declared his career a bust, and now he fired 7 innings and only gave up 1 run and struck out 8. But between Tim Anderson and Moncada and Jose Abreu and Luis Robert and up and down that lineup, just loaded, and they beat the A's 4-1. Any feelings either way about the White Sox or the A's?
Not really. Giolito was perfect through the first, I think, 6 innings of the game last night. He's awesome. I kind of feel for the A's because, like you said, they make it to the postseason every year and then they flame out. So one year I'd like to see him actually have some postseason success, I guess.
At least they make it.
Yeah.
More than some.
And they make it consistently. I mean, they win on a consistent basis, but when they get to the playoffs for whatever reason, they don't seem to ever advance. They don't ever seem to win a series. But
would you rather have it like the A's and be consistent and make regular playoff appearances but never sip from the golden chalice of a championship, or would you rather be like the Royals and really never make the playoffs, but when you do, bam, you're going to a World Series, bam, you're winning a championship?
I'd be like the Royals.
Easy. Easy.
Yeah, I mean,
that'll beat you down.
Yeah,
I mean, we know that as Chiefs fans.
After a while, it doesn't even become exciting to go to the playoffs. It becomes frustrating, and you take that part for granted, and you never get to actually have the big party. So,
right, we got the big party.
We got the big party.
It makes, you know, suffering through 100 lost seasons tolerable.
Yep.
You know, not flaming out in the playoffs. I'm kind of rooting for Oakland. Kind of after I said, Blake Anderson, he's the actor from Workaholics, the long-haired Blake. He's a big Oakland fan, so I saw him, you know, yesterday morning, shotgun a beer and then do a somersault and knock the camera over. So, he's sporting his Oakland Athletics jersey, so.
Didn't seem to help him last night.
No.
Didn't. Okay, and then the third game, the Rays beat the Blue Jays 3-1. I will be rooting for the Rays if for no other reason. Boy, does their success irritate Mike Bottomley.
Right.
And I would like to see their aggressive approach, their unique approach. I would like to see that paid off with success in the postseason. And so I am rooting. I enjoy the Rays. They finished the regular season 40-20, and they start off the postseason with a 3-1 victory of the Blue Jays. So go Rays. And then, of course, the Yankees and Indians. There's just no team that you could put up against the Yankees that would lead me to root for the Yankees. Yankees, Cardinals. Cardinals. I think I might. Well, Jake, Yankees, Cardinals. Who would you root for if that was a thing? See, that's kind of like the same sound I just made. I'd probably have to say Cardinals.
I think Cardinals, kind of. One of my best friends is a Cardinals fan, you know?
Yeah.
I say Cardinals. I can't really, you know, I can't tolerate. I mean, outside of Manny Martin's, I don't tolerate any Yankees fans, really. Richie
you
and
tolerate
Manny.
Them?
No, not really.
Attorney at law, Cesar Millan, and my best friend, and also... a gentleman that has given 30 years to, damn near 30 years to the Army, into this country. He married into the Cardinals. You know, he's still, true blue Royals over in St. Louis, but gotta keep Mama happy.
Yeah.
So he keeps a watchful eye. He tells me he just doesn't say anything. You know, he says he won't root
supportive.
For him, really.
He's just supportive.
He's not gonna root against him. Yeah, he's just there. You know what I mean?
Supportive
of
his beautiful bride.
Yeah, he's there.
Right.
He attends games. He will sit. He will watch. Let him watch. And so that's the right approach, isn't it? I mean, that, you know, he's not going to resist it, but he's not going to lean into it. He's just going to be there. He's there, like you said, being a very supportive husband for his Cardinals loving wife. And so I would do that. But Yankees, Indians, go Indians. But that didn't go well because Biebs was on the mound. Shane Bieber, who should be the AL Cy Young Award winner, and the Yankees said, well, so what? And just... Good Lord. Where did all those runs come from, Biebs? 4 2/3 innings, 9 hits, 7 earned runs. No! Biebs, come on! Garrett Cole had 13 strikeouts in 7 innings as the Yankees beat the Indians 12-3, so... Boo! I don't like that. And then, like Jake said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many are there? 8. And so, do you look at this like, oh, I can't believe it? There's 8 playoff baseball games today. This is like March Madness. I'm bathing in baseball. Let me disrobe and step into this tub filled with baseball. What am I talking about?
That was a graphic description.
What the hell am I talking about right now? I'm just rambling, talking about
disrobing,
washing myself with a sport.
I mean, honestly, the only thing that hurts me right now is like my going cold turkey on the gambling. Like, this would be a feast.
A lot of opportunity out there. This is the deal. This is what I'll say.
All you can eat buffet of baseball.
We will
betting.
See. What your discipline level is, because right now opportunity
yesterday was
pounding at your door.
Yesterday
opportunity
was too hard.
But opportunity was
this will be doubly hard.
Opportunity slept in your driveway last night.
Yeah,
is right now pounding at your door, begging you
Pounders!
To let them in.
Open that app.
And here's the thing, Opportunity knows your home. They heard you moving around.
Your balance line's zero, buddy. You're right. Paid up.
You keep on knocking, but you can't come in.
You were checking lines, good, and you were moving around, and they heard the dogs barking. So
get
now they're
back.
Not leaving.
Get them back.
Will you answer the door as Opportunity is knocking today with an 11 a.m. first pitch with Reds or Braves? I mean, you can get right into it.
Nah, I'm locking myself
jump right
in the
in.
Bathroom.
That's going to be
Dave's
a long...
Dave's not here, man.
I mean, you got start times every hour, basically.
Yeah.
11, noon, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and then 9. You've got, this is your path. You've heard me talk about Kansas City Credit Union and being your path to financial freedom. This 8-game schedule today in the playoffs could be your path to financial freedom.
No! No!
Will you resist? Will you really?
Yeah, I will. I don't have a choice. I mean, the thing...
you have a choice. You have choices.
I guess.
You absolutely have a choice.
It'll pull at me, but not like Sunday will.
Right.
Oh.
Like that, getting to and through Sunday, I couldn't do it last week. You know, I was like, I'm not betting this week, guys, till Monday Night Football.
Right.
Right? That's what I said last week. And then Saturday came around. Some UFC fights going on, some college football going on.
That was the text, by the way, if you were wondering. that was the red flag. That was the alert.
Yep.
So I looked over at Phil. I go.
Why is he asking me about this
Jake
fight?
Jake wants to bet on this fight, and I don't really know. I don't even care about this fight. You know, I really don't have a strong feeling. Well, what are you going to tell him? So I'm just going to kind of give him like a wishy-washy answer, and hopefully that'll scare him off, because I really didn't have a good feel.
Right? No, you said
going
to
win.
It's going
to
be a tough fight.
Yeah. I said, you know, I thought Reyes, I mean, you could have given him the decision against John Jones, but I don't know. This could be a really tough fight for him. Yeah. I don't really feel great. You know.
Turns out it was a tough fight for him. It was a rough bet for me.
Yeah, and I know Nate doesn't keep close tabs on it, but at least I would have thought I would have heard by now his celebration that the new light heavyweight champion in the UFC is the Polish Hammer. And they were having our girl, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, the superstar. And she was live on TV in studio, and everyone in Poland was watching. It was like such a big deal for him to fight Dominic Reyes for the vacant light heavyweight title, because that division has been dominated for the last several years by, you know, either John Jones or Daniel Cormier. John Jones or Daniel Cormier. Those were your champs in the light heavyweight division. And now finally it's the Polish Hammer.
Yeah.
Nate Bucati. So I feel like you have been, now you are part of the,
you're
very excited to be part of the light heavyweight
I am.
In the UFC. So
I'm kind of mad that snuck under my radar.
Well,
I'm
kind of you mad do that's some not research. Your nickname. Right. You do some research in the break, and then you come back and give me just a small book report on your new UFC light heavyweight champion. But that's when that's when I knew that the weekend had gone south in a hurry, because we had talked about select football games that you were going to have some interest in, and all of a sudden I get this text, hey, what do you think about the Dominic Reyes here? I like it. And all these, like, what is he doing? What's going on over there? Do I need to intervene? It's like, are you at least going to... I thought I was going to get a Adesanya Costa question. I was going to go heavy on Adesanya.
Well, you could have just said, hey,
Costa,
stay away from that fight. Go bet on Costa, dummy.
Well, I'm not encouraging you to bet. I didn't want you to bet on any fights.
Right, okay, I get it.
That's the way I was trying to get you to bet. I mean, hell, if that was the guy, I would have tried to get you to bet on the Chavez Jr. fight the night before, because I would have told you at some point in the middle of rounds he was going to quit. You know, I mean, that was...
That's pretty consistent, you know, with this fight game, man.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you don't want to look up the Polish Hammer on Urban Dictionary.
Well, you know, that's not
what he asked
what
you to do.
Presenting.
Do some research.
I just typed in the Polish Hammer and Urban Dictionary
you?
Popped up. And I'm like, well, that's not what
maybe,
I'm looking for.
Maybe.
Nope.
Maybe, you know, maybe UFC when you're on television, make sure I don't have that camera shot behind you.
What?
I'm just saying, be really careful what you're Googling on your computer room.
I'm just trying to look up the Polish Hammer.
I'm just saying, there's...
It involves the kielbasa sausage. Let's just put it that way. No.
Can you break us, please, Steven?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to now, no. To be honest with you. I will. Okay, let me take a break then. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Let's play a chunk of Bill Belichick's press conference from yesterday where he was talking specifically about the Chiefs after reporters pummeled him with questions about Kansas City's performance against the Ravens. And so let's start there. Hear Bill Belichick, who, of course, will bring the Patriots to Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday, was asked what he thought of the Chiefs' performance against the Ravens.
It's a performance like usual. They're really dominant in the first half. You know, basically scored 31 points there, you know, in a half of football on the road. So against a good football team. So they're a very explosive group. You know, played the Ravens well defensively. So, you know, they're a good football team, very talented, well-coached. Play with a lot of poise and discipline. So, you know, we know we're going to have our work cut out for us in Kansas City. It's a championship football team, and, you know, we're going to have to play our best game and coach it.
A quick follow, Bill. Patrick Mahomes, what are your thoughts on him as a player?
Yeah, I mean, all the superlatives that have been said about him, I'd just be repeating them all.
Next question, Ben Volen, followed by Phil Perry.
Good morning, Bill. The Chiefs, you played them several times the last few years. Do you feel like you have a good familiarity with them as an opponent? And do you see them progressing? I mean, this is now Mahomes' third year in the offense. Do you see them building and adding on to the offense from what they've had year to year?
Sure. Yeah, Andy continues to, you know, expand his scheme. And, you know, they've always had a pretty broad attack. They continue to have that. Certainly, you know, Edwards has given them a, you know, explosive player in the backfield, and that's, you know, more than what they had last year. So, you know, that's why they drafted him, and he's delivered that for them, you know, in the three games this year. But, yeah, they have they're very well coached. They have an excellent attack. They have a lot of good players. They're very experienced in their system, and they can do a lot of things, no question.
And what are some of the characteristics of the defense being run by Steve Spagnuolo there?
Yeah, well, they mix it up. They mix a combination of man zone, blitz zone, and some, you know, man blitzes, pressure blitzes. So they're not afraid to call them. They make you offensively deal with everything. They really test your execution and, again, have some pretty experienced and savvy players back there. The linebackers, of course, Matthew. And, you know, Jones is a very, very disruptive player up front, you know, along with Clark. So they got guys at every level that are a problem. And they have a, you know, a pretty extensive scheme, kind of like they have on offense. So they give us a lot to prepare for.
Next question, Phil Perry, followed by Alan Siegel.
They built the team offensively, and it looked like last night they had sort of a new, to me at least, formation where they had four players sort of in single file detached from the formation. Is Andy Reid's offense, is it one where you sort of have to expect to see things that you haven't seen before? And if that is the case, how difficult is it to try to just prepare your team for that?
Well, I think Andy, yeah, continually comes up with, you know, little wrinkles here and there. That's you expect that a couple plays a game, but that's, you know, not really the core of what they do. Those gadget plays and those, you know, formations that are a little out of the ordinary. You know, that'll pop up from time to time, but, you know, they really win with good fundamentals, good execution, and you know, the core things that they do. But, yeah, they obviously put things in there that to mix it up and give the defense a little bit of a different look. So, those are definitely coming in every game. A different one, ones that we haven't practiced, but that's, we'll have to follow our rules and handle those situations, when they come up. But it's really their core stuff and their core execution and their good execution doing those things, and their ability to, do quite a few of them and hit the defense in a number of different ways. I think the way that they spread the ball around is, that's obviously a problem. So those are the things that are, I'd say, the biggest things we got to contend with.
Thanks, Stacey. Bill, the word that you keep hearing with Kansas City receiving corps is speed, pure speed. Does that alter the way you have to get ready for a team when speed is a key weapon overall, or do you just have to keep to the way you think you do things anyway?
I think you definitely have to take it into consideration. They can out leverage you in a hurry, and once they get behind you, it's not too many guys on that offense that you can catch. So, we're gonna have to do a great job of, maintaining our leverage and our discipline, and respect that. We play against fast guys every week, but I would say they have a lot of them on the field at the same time, and that just puts more stress on the defense. And the quarterback's very good at getting the ball, and the offensive coordinator, Andy, does a great job of, stressing the defense and putting them in spaces that, force the defense to stretch and create, openings for other guys. So if you don't let them get behind you, so that's, they do all those things well. They're very well balanced, and the execution's outstanding. They really know what they're doing. They have, a lot of good players and good coaches that can put the defense in a lot of compromising spots.
And just a quick follow-up on that. Does that, the fact that you have to stretch a little bit when you're going against speed, does that make it easier? Not that it would be easy anyway, but does that make it a little bit more room for Travis Kelce to get open, who's a great tight end in any way?
Yeah, I mean, they have five good receivers out there on almost every play. So, it's hard to match up, with two, three, or four of them, but they got five and a great quarterback and a great offensive system. So, they maximize the amount of pressure they put on you. And again, they do a lot of different things. It's not just one route or one guy, or they have a multitude of ways to attack the defense, and they do them all every week. So you sooner or later you're going to get tested, and you just got to be ready to handle it.
Nate, I just tweeted a video at you, tagged you in a video of Jan Blachowicz arriving at the airport in Poland, and fans mobbing him and chanting his name as he held the USC title. That was cool. I love that. I love videos like that.
Yeah, I'm watching right now.
I thought you'd like that. To make you happy? You can get a t-shirt now?
Well, I like his jorts, first of all.
Right. Well, if you win the light heavyweight title and you go back to Poland, don't you need to wear jorts on the flight?
Well, yeah.
Right.
That really sets off the championship belt.
Right.
It's good to see that everybody has their cell phones out in Poland, right, just like they do here.
They're happy. It's joy.
Yeah, you got to get some video of it.
By the way, speaking of videos on Twitter, did you see the video? It's just like 13 seconds long, but it's from NFL Films of Eric Fisher and his reaction to catching the touchdown pass and what he was saying to his fellow offensive lineman on the bench right after he came off the field.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. Jake, when you get a chance to play that, let's play it. Here is, and you gotta listen, and if you can't understand what he's saying, we'll repeat it afterwards. But this is Eric Fisher, so crank it up. This is him talking with other offensive linemen celebrating after he caught the touchdown pass on Monday night.
My life just flashed before my eyes.
I blacked out. Totally blacked out.
Okay, you can't tell me.
Jesus took the wheel on that one.
He said, if you couldn't hear it, he said, my life just flashed before my eyes. And then he said, dude, I blacked out. Totally blacked out. And Jesus took the wheel on that one. So according to Eric Fisher, his life flashed before his eyes. He totally blacked out. And Jesus took the wheel on that catch. So Eric Fisher.
Just flashed before my eyes. Dude, I blacked out. Totally blacked out.
You can't tell me
Jesus,
I had a heart attack.
Jesus took the wheel on that one.
What of the says, you can't tell me you didn't almost have a heart attack when the ball was in the air. Yeah, you know, because he had to reach up and get it. He had to show something. He had to show some coordination, you know, and so that.
Some range of motion.
Right. I like it.
Totally blacked out.
You can't tell me
Jesus,
I almost had a heart attack.
Jesus took the wheel on that one.
The best part was, like, you know, Mahomes after the game said that he was covered better in practice a lot of times when they ran that play than he was in this one. So he actually intentionally threw a couple of high passes to him in practice to see if he could handle it. And he could. So he knew he could throw that one up high.
Now, speaking of the baseball playoffs, this is a good tie-in here. Jake, as someone years and years ago, not this Jake, but an old Jake, as someone that did totally black out during the playoffs, how impressive is it that Eric Fisher still caught a touchdown pass experiencing that?
I made it through that game five, right?
Or was but could you have caught it? Could you have caught a touchdown pass? Game three. Could you have caught a touchdown pass?
Could I have?
In that state.
I was catching beers left and right, man.
Right. I know. Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe. I mean, I got some good hands. I mean, that's no question.
You can't tell me Jesus, I had a heart attack.
Jesus took the wheel on that one.
I don't know. I might let Jesus take the wheel, and maybe I would have caught it.
Jesus took the wheel on that catch for Eric Fisher.
You know, Jesus took the wheel on that game three when Moustakas made that catch, you know. Hashtag find Jake. Jesus took the wheel.
Some of the things that he said were applicable to you. Jesus took the wheel.
Blacking out.
Right. It's no laughing matter.
Your life flashed before your eyes. Right.
It's kind of a laughing matter now that I made it through it. But, I mean, all those statements that he said is definitely applicable to my drinking days. I blacked out. Jesus kind of took the wheel from there, you know.
And
my life flashed right before my eyes.
And here we go. Okay, you can thank me later because this is here. Come here. Add up the points, Nate, that he gets, and then you caught a touchdown pass named Riley.
Wow!
Absolutely, I did.
How's that? Yeah.
Caught that one in the end zone.
Here touchdown. I am. What a way with words, huh?
Yeah.
I was thinking the metaphor there would be outkick your coverage.
Well,
right.
Did I, though?
Yeah. No. Made a shoestring tackle.
Wow. Boy, I get you some points, and you just throw them right out the door.
I'm a pretty good catch myself.
You
know?
Well, you are. You are a pretty good catch.
You are.
Love you, honey.
I'll tell you that.
Love you, honey.
How about this, Riley? I get the points now. He doesn't get them. I'll take them. Just give me those points and... see if you could transfer them over to the account of Susan St. John, please. Is there a way? Riley, can we connect you to Susan's account so you can transfer those points? I could use them over here, and so that's fine. Yeah, that was...
Jazzercise event on Saturday.
Are you DJing?
Possibly.
Yeah, you are.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Okay, so then can we go?
Yeah. It's an outdoor event. Social distance, 8:30, I believe.
Okay, let's
check out... OP Jazzercise on Facebook. You're welcome. See, these are my real points.
I'm just going to be honest with you. She didn't totally express it, but she was a little unhappy we didn't go last time. And so now this is a chance for me to get a couple of points. This is redemption. Thank you.
Yeah,
this
buddy.
Could be a redemption
surpriser
for me. Well, yes, yeah, she's not listening yet. That'll work. Thank you. Thank you very much for Nate Bucati. The question that I had for you earlier, and we kind of got sidetracked with lots of weird things. So are you fired up for 8 playoff games today, or are you just going to, where's Mahomes?
You want me to be honest, right?
I want you to be, look, it's 8 playoff games. It's a weird format, but it is wall-to-wall baseball. I mean, you got the first game starts at 11 a.m., and then you've got a start time every hour, basically, until 4. And then you got games at 6 and 9, which that means games
yeah,
6 to 9.
Yeah, celebrate.
Right. But, I mean, you love baseball as much as anyone. Are you relishing this opportunity? This is a day of playoff baseball? Or you, just be honest, if you're just kind of
The short answer is no.
Oh.
I am a little excited that I'll have something to have on while I'm doing stuff today. That's kind of like what Jake said yesterday. But the honest truth is, I didn't watch a single live pitch of baseball yesterday. And I didn't even realize it until I was driving from picking my son up from daycare and I had Petro on and he was giving score updates from the games. Like, oh yeah, there's baseball on today. And I don't know what that says because it's not like I'm not going to watch this. It's not that. I just, it wasn't on my mind. And maybe it's, I don't know if it's the Royals being, the fact that they really just weren't ever in it. I mean, I still was interested in watching the Royals games this year. I watched all the way to the last game. But I don't have a connection to any of the teams that are playing. And it just doesn't, I mean, it all feels like an exhibition for some reason to me. And I know that's weird because I've been super into the NBA playoffs. I'm really excited about the NBA finals tonight. But this just doesn't, I don't know what it is. I don't.
16 teams maybe?
Maybe it's the 16 teams. It just kind of, and it all, the season was so short and weird.
Maybe you get into it and you get down to four teams.
Yeah.
And start to lock in.
And then I'll have it on. I mean,
then you'll get it. Right.
Yeah, I'll have it on. I'm glad there's games. I'm not right. Sitting here acting like, oh, I wish they weren't playing or anything. I'm glad there's games and
as long as there's no football on opposite games, then we should be fine.
But I think you're totally right. Like to try to get excited about those baseball games after the Chiefs game on Monday, it's just a total come down. I mean, it's not.
Can't do it.
Yeah, it's not.
Can't do it. We will be right back after this on WHB. I'm getting tweets from Riley. I'm getting emails from Todd Lebo. Hey, thanks, Todd. Thanks for listening, Todd. We've got hopefully a fun show for you. Don't
it's all
don't
tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Your home for everything that's f-ing great.
Don't let the first hour ruin it for you. The show gets better, I promise. Jamie Bluma is going to be with us. Adam Kaplan to talk football. Adam Kaplan will the first question will not be a question. It's going to be a statement. I'm just going to say Mahomes and have him react. Gary Lezak, Herm Edwards will also get the Mahomes treatment. Trenny Kuznarek at 8:30. She covers the Patriots, but she'll talk about Mahomes instead. And then Jeff Chedia will give us his thoughts about picking the Ravens to beat the Chiefs on Monday Night Football and see if... see what he thinks. I mean, I don't know.
Incorrect. Incorrect.
Right. Hey, we're all wrong here from time to time.
We are?
But it, yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I don't ever pick against a Mahomes-led football team.
Right.
So I've not been wrong about any of those. I mean, and get used to it. It's not even worthwhile asking me my pick for any Chiefs. If Mahomes is the quarterback, I will pick the Chiefs. There is no scenario that leads me to pick against the Chiefs when Mahomes is a quarterback.
That is awesome.
I don't care where the game is played. I don't care if the game is played in hell and the devil is the opposing quarterback. Mahomes wins by two touchdowns.
How are y'all doing?
All right. Thank you. Back after this on WHB.
Tuned into the Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Congratulations to Patrick Mahomes II and Brittany as they are going to have a baby. Baby Mahomes is on the way. Also, Congratulations to Conrad McGorkin for taking that picture and then slightly adjusting it to where it appears that Patrick and Brittany are holding a picture of Lamar Jackson. I don't know. Conrad, I don't know, but I did retweet, so maybe I do know. On that note, back after this on WHB.